Hi, my name's Martin Haggerty, and I'm the singer with Long Earth, a progressive rock band based in Glasgow. I also write songs, most of which tell stories, and some of which are based on my own experiences. This is the story of one of them. Just one song, a few seconds of which you've just heard. But it means a lot to me, and I'd like it to mean something to a lot of people, especially those who might never hear it, and yet still benefit from it. And they would be children who are currently living with warfare. On 17th of November 2023, my new single, Dust and Stone, is released in aid of War Child UK, a charity helping child victims of war throughout the world. And Lord knows there are more children affected on a daily basis given what's been happening in some parts of the world recently. It's an idea I've been toying with for some time, but over the last year or so, it just became an imperative for me. I think as a parent, you can't sit idly by and ignore what mankind is doing to the next generation. If some sort of peace is ever to become lasting, we need to show kindness and compassion to all children, because they are the ones who will inherit this world. And if they know that there are good people out there in all parts of the world, they are less likely to spread fear and resentment. That may sound a little naive, but if everyone tried to leave their corner of the world a little better than they found it, the world would be a much better place for everyone. Of course, I could simply donate a little something to the War Child charity. After all, that's what charities survive on. But as a songwriter, I have an opportunity to spread the message a little further and broaden the reach. However, not everyone is in a position to do that beyond maybe posting on social media or holding a local event like a bake sale or running a sponsored marathon and the like. But a musician, even an almost unknown musician like myself, has at least a relationship with their followers through their social media presence. In my case, that would be via Long Earth's 3,000 or so followers. So, Dust and Stone was to become my message. My cri de coeur. This is the story behind my journey towards writing the song. To start at the beginning, I've always been really into music. Being the son of a jazz musician who, as a young man, sang and played trumpet in the jazz clubs of Scotland. Music was always a feature in my house. I remember as a small child being drawn towards songs like A Whiter Shade of Pale, Nights in White Satin, Hey Jude, songs like that. But when I first heard David Bowie, Roxy Music, Sparks, and then early Queen, I totally fell in love with rock music, from glam rock to hard rock and also punk. I actually sang in a punk band at school, but we soon realised that punk audiences spat at the bands that they went to see live, and we decided we didn't really want to sign up for that. But it was only when I was exposed to Seconds Out by Genesis that I became obsessed by prog rock. How could a live band sound so good? I lapped it all up. Initially Genesis and then into all of their solo projects. And in fact, for about a year, the only records I had on my turntable were by Genesis or members of Genesis past and present. Then I got into Jethro Tull, Yes, Camel, Pink Floyd, and by the end of 1982, I added another name to my favourites, Marillion. I began to hang around with friends who played music, and even though they weren't necessarily prog musicians or even prog fans, we formed an art rock band called Lost Weekends. Now, Glasgow had a really good scene in the 1980s, with loads of bands troubling the charts and gigging heavily all over the country. We did the London Record Company tour with our three-song demo tape, and actually got in to see some of them. I think they actually felt sorry for us coming all that way down to London during a freezing January. We played some gigs together and then it all fell apart fairly soon afterwards when it became apparent that our songwriting really wasn't all that good. I didn't play an instrument back then, so I didn't write music, nor did I get the opportunity to write lyrics at that stage. A short while later, the Glasgow prog band Abel Gans lost their singer Alan Reid to fellow Scots Palace. I auditioned and I got the gig, and we eventually supported Palace at Alan's first hometown gig in Glasgow. My range in those days wasn't quite as good. and none of the songs, including the new ones they'd been writing after Alan left, were actually in my key. So after a few more gigs where I was struggling to hit the top notes, I moved on. I joined a band called Mask, who were friends of mine, but basically the guitarist was the band. He wrote the music, which was great, but his lyrics maybe less so. We were at that point described as a Scottish Wishbone Ash by the DJ and TV presenter called Paul Coya. But my attempts to get some meaningful lyrics into the songs did not quite meet with the main guy's approval. Plus, he was already a half-decent singer himself, and so I was soon on the lookout for something that I could contribute a bit more to. That band was to become Field of Vision, which on and off saw the three main members, which included myself, writing and recording for 4 years before taking a break to have families and mortgages and build careers, until we found ourselves years later in 2014 writing and releasing an EP, The Vicissitudes of Life. And then a year later, a tribute single dedicated to the passing of both Keith Emerson and Greg Lake. We continued to write, but busy schedules meant only occasional sessions, and that led to drifting, which lasted another 2 or 3 years. In fact, it was with Field of Vision in mind that I first demoed Dust and Stone. It was cobbled together by me in my home studio, initially playing every instrument myself. I'd seen a news report from a city in Syria. It may well have been Raqqa, I can't quite remember. But it featured a young woman who had been brought up there and had returned to her hometown only to find much of it lying in ruins. Nothing but dust and stone. Until she spotted something that really hit her hard. A shoe poking out of the rubble. Yes, there was glass and metal and all the rubble that once formed a street full of buildings, but there was nothing that was obviously personal to anyone, nothing that an alien landing there would associate with evidence of recent habitation, save for this one little object, just a shoe. And yet it was an image that only accentuated the lack of any actual human beings around her, save for the person behind the camera filming her. It occurred to me then there was no sign of humans, and in fact, no evidence of any humanity either. And a lyric began to form in my head, the inspiration built for a song. I toyed with ideas for quite some time, initially playing everything myself, despite my inherent lack of ability on keyboards, bass or drums. The working title was initially Small Mercy, and then Human Remains, because the lyric in the chorus is basically human remains, no humanity remains, just sadness and pain for a place I once called home. So Human Remains was a somewhat grisly title maybe, but the subject matter is grisly, so it seemed to fit. A short while after first demoing it, I hooked up with some old bandmates from my Abel Gans days, along with a couple of new friends who together made up the band Long Earth. It was an invitation I hadn't expected, but I had seen the band live and I really enjoyed the music from their first album, The Source. And then one day, I unexpectedly received a message from then bassist Gordon Mackey to say that they were looking for a new singer, having parted company with theirs, who just happened to be Gordon's brother, Neil. After the very first song in my audition, we all sensed that it was going to work out. And then suddenly, I found I had a lot of lyric and melody writing to work on while the rest of my colleagues developed the musical ideas for what was to become the second Long Earth album, Once Around the Sun, which was subsequently released in March 2020, just before that lockdown first hit. Consequently, Human Remains was sidelined into a work-in-progress folder on my studio hard drive. And there it remained until 2022. And having tinkered with the arrangement of Human Remains now and again, I decided to properly revisit the song with a view to possibly introducing it to the band for a potential place on the third Long Earth album, which we had already begun writing. But there were two issues with that. First, it didn't immediately seem to fit the rest of the material that we were writing, being at that stage very electronic and inorganic sounding. And second, Long Earth had already recorded a song on The Source called Children of War. And a very powerful song it was too, and very popular live, where it had remained a feature of the set until last year. Now, the subject matter may have been similar, although it was lyrically very different to my song. Plus, I already had another song in the frame for Long Earth 3 that touched directly upon the situation with Ukraine and Russia, albeit from a very, very different perspective. But a solo song, it seemed set to remain. I still liked the song, but I was by now too close to it to be completely objective any longer. I thought it might benefit from the abilities of much more accomplished musicians than myself. It was time to invite a few musical friends to add to some of my better takes. I didn't really see any point in asking any of my Long Earth bandmates, as the song obviously didn't contain all that much Long Earth DNA to start with. And if I'd asked them, it would have been great, but it would have ended up sounding like Long Earth anyway, so I felt really it should remain distinctly separate from them. It would therefore require a new cast. But that brought the question, who to invite on this musical journey? Obviously, I did the main vocal, and I kept the main structure that I'd already laid down on guitar, synthesizers, and percussion. But who else? For bass, I needed someone who really knows his instrument, a prog guy who knew when to play, and more crucially, when not to play. I had by that stage already featured on the first two Checking for Echo project albums in 2021 and 2022 as a guest vocalist, and I'm about to feature on the next one apparently too. Now, on the second of those albums, a guy called Trev Turley had made an appearance playing bass. Now, Trev has played for decades, latterly with the Mojo Preachers and the Random Earth Project. And he'd contacted me after the Checking for Echo release and offered assistance should I ever require it. And we became friends. I already knew that he had his own recording set up, so his being in London was no obstacle to working together. So it was a real no-brainer given his obvious abilities as a bass player. Drums next. And the obvious candidate to me was Mr. Checking for Echo Project himself, the multi-instrumentalist John Farley, who had written and recorded the Checking for Echo Project albums. I'd enjoyed being part of his albums. They always stretched me as a vocalist, and he's an excellent drummer who has a very, very musical style. That might sound a bit silly, because surely every drummer should have a musical style, but believe me, they don't. So, John Farley, a resident of Northern Scotland, was the next person to be invited to join the cast of Dust and Stone. Plus, he and Trev had already played together as a rhythm section, so I knew that it would work well. John instinctively knew that the song would benefit from something a little more Gavin Harrison in style, and I have to say he called it right. He came up with a very hypnotic and rather unusual drum pattern. I'd also asked him to keep the intruder-style drums during the solo, which I'd already done on the demo, and felt that they replicated the sound of heavy artillery fire. Now, while I'd already done some synth work on the song, and some percussion and percussive loops along with a basic piano solo, it really needed something a little more organic, a little more musical. My piano playing is like my typing, three or four fingers battering away with absolutely no subtlety and a very loose relationship with accuracy, and that's on a good day. So enter Hugh Montgomery, my old Abel Gans bandmate of almost 40 years ago, and much more recently the producer of the first two Long Earth albums. He's also the man behind Grand Tour, producing two amazing prog albums so far. He also happens to be a wonderful piano player and has always been someone who will help a friend. Now, he's a busy guy, but as soon as I asked, he agreed to play. And what he has added has given additional warmth and depth that I could not have got near. Plus, he always has coffee and good biscuits when you visit, so that's a bonus. Now, I've always liked working with female vocalists, and I've worked with a fair few in earlier bands, including on the Vicissitudes of Life EP with Field of Vision. And having seen Amanda Lamann many times with Steve Hackett's band, I always thought that her voice would blend perfectly with mine on harmonies. In fact, I had already suggested working together at some point the year before, but the timing just hadn't been right. Bearing in mind she's a wonderful guitar player in her own right, and let's face it, you'd have to be to play alongside Steve Hackett every night, I knew she could also elevate the guitar playing on the track. She had already recently worked with Trev Turley on Airwaves, the Random Earth Project's album, so that was another link in the chain, which was by now forming a nice circle. I initially asked Amanda to lay down a harmony vocal alongside mine and to add some atmospheric backing vocals too, which she was totally into as she liked the song. I also casually suggested she could put down some lead guitar if she felt like it. Fortunately, she took me up on the offer, and what she came up with was absolutely fantastic. Her lead lines just shimmer. She doesn't go for the typical rock guitar player licks either. And, going above and beyond the call of duty, she also decided to lay down some beautiful acoustic rhythm guitar, saying I could either choose to use it or discard it. Needless to say, it didn't hit the recycle bin. Meanwhile, the harmony vocals did, as I'd always suspected they would, blend beautifully with my own voice, matching my phrasing and my inflections perfectly. The atmospheric backing vocals are both stunning and totally haunting, and capture exactly the mood that I sought to achieve with the song. The overall effect is of a duet rather than just a backing vocal. Normally I would start songwriting with a chord sequence or maybe a melody in my head, but on this occasion I started with a drum loop. I was looking for something hypnotic, something a little different. And as the idea for the song initially came from an image of somewhere in the Middle East, I settled on something that, to me at any rate, evoked the slow and steady gait of a pack animal, loaded with someone's remaining earthly possessions as they set off to avoid a coming conflict. That meant sifting through hundreds of samples for unusual, unsettling sounds to help create an oppressive atmosphere. So that involved slightly discordant violin sounds as a counter to the melody, highly distorted guitar crunches for menace, and running instruments backwards to make them sound creepy and sinister. And then the basic shape of a song began to form: an intro, a verse, a chorus. That allowed me to work a way forward with the actual storytelling, and that meant writing some lyrics. With the picture pretty well formed in my head from the news report, I tried to put myself into the mind of the reporter, and the first verse pretty much flowed in a sort of stream of consciousness fashion. Walking through these shattered streets, broken glass beneath our feet, the only sound that's here to greet our entry into hell. In the rubble, I find a tattered shoe, no sign of who it belonged to. Was it lost as they passed through? Or does it mark the place they fell? And that was my first verse. It fell into place that simply, and yet to me it painted the scene perfectly. So, then a chorus. Should I have something catchy and memorable? Something you could whistle? Not really that sort of song, is it? The only sign of people having been there was the shoe. The reporter didn't dig any deeper, at least on camera. But if there had been someone under there, we would have been dealing with human remains. As it was, the only remaining evidence of humans was the shoe. So by proxy, it represents the possibility of human remains in a scene where any humanity had obviously long been absent. It was a sight that would shock and sadden anyone with any shred of humanity, especially if it was their town, their neighbourhood. How truly heartbreaking would that be for me, for you? How do you convey this? Where do you go? How do you survive without your family, your friends, all of your possessions. How do you rebuild a life, a home, a street, or a city after this? And so the chorus formed in my head. Human remains, no humanity remains, just sadness and pain for a place I once called home. Where do you go when everything you own and everyone you know lies beneath the dust and stone? Here's a short section of the demo.
Birds don't sing, no children play. Silence frames a grim display. Holocaust of yesterday still echo through the years. A doll lies in the arms of a girl. A mother caresses a long black curl. Hospital ward full of shattered souls, their screams ring in our ears.
And so the die was cast. Now, I don't know what happened after the reporter stopped filming, but in the song, you and I walk further and further into the city, into more devastation. Nothing else alive is detectable, not human, not animal. There is not even birdsong. The silence is both incongruous and claustrophobic at the same time. And you wonder what it would have sounded like in more peaceful times. Kids playing, traffic noise, the hubbub of thousands of people shopping and going about their daily lives. It seems almost unimaginable that people could do this deliberately. And yet we've all seen it. We've seen it with our own eyes in news footage from Israel, Gaza, Ukraine, Sudan, Yemen, Afghanistan, Iraq, back further in time to Vietnam, to Korea, Europe during World War II and World War I, all documented on film and in photographs. And even before then, the stories of great empires rising and falling, because every empire falls eventually. Sadly, war is endemic in human society. Intelligent, seemingly civilized people still call for the blood of others in the name of land, power, a flag, or a religious cause. And in every conflict, who are the true innocents? The ones who don't make war. They don't see division until they are taught to hate and to fear. The ones who genuinely should have no place in any conflict. Children. In images from hospitals full of injured and dying, you will always see the children, usually shocked into silence despite their injuries, while the cries of adults surround them. This is what dust and stone is really all about. And this so-called theatre of war, a theatre that does not entertain, only horrify. Now, at least for the superpowers and wealthy nations, war can be conducted from afar by missiles and guided drones. We watch our 24/7 TV news channels and we witness the smart technology, and it may be impressive as technology, but are we becoming indifferent to its use? Or are we just glad it doesn't directly affect us? Until one day it does. No one is immune from this, as Ukraine has shown. So, such a statement song, I felt, required a strong video. Now, in the video department, I must confess to being somewhat blessed, as my elder son, Ross Eaglesham, is a filmmaker. He's BAFTA nominated for a documentary as part of a production company. He writes and directs comedy sketches, and he's also won an award for his first professional music video for the Swedish pop singer Tove Lo, who I confess I had never heard of myself, but apparently she's sold millions of songs and is very, very popular. Ross had also worked extensively with Trev Turley on the Random Earth Project's videos. So, giving my son a budget of exactly £0 and 0 pence, he managed to come up with something I think is rather special. and which you can view on the longearthmusic.com website or on YouTube, Long Earth Music's channel. So, Martin, you may ask, who are you to lecture us via your music, and who are you to tell us what to think? Well, quite simply, I'm not telling anyone what to think. I'm asking people to think for themselves. I'm not taking sides here or passing the blame in any war that currently ravages a part of our pale blue dot. I am simply asking people to remember the plight of the innocent children, the ones with no voice, no vote, and who are sometimes left with no home and no family. That is what Dust and Stone is really about. It's a reminder of the effects of the often devastating decisions made by humankind. Some of those people were voted into power by people like us. Some of them seized power by force, but all of them are human, even if their actions are frequently inhuman. And after all, I am only one man. All I can do is try and make my little bit of the world better and educate my children to do likewise, spreading the message to others who, hopefully, like me, are appalled by what we see on our newsstands and our TV screens on a daily basis. We should not, cannot let ourselves be inured to the suffering inflicted on children. And with the recent events in Israel and Palestine, it has become even more necessary to act, and act now. It's strange to me that a single that I've finalised over the past few months, mastered in September, but have worked on for years now, sounds like it was recorded directly in response to what has happened in the last month, but that is a tragic coincidence. But then, there is always a war somewhere in this world, and that is shocking. As my nation's poet Robert Burns said, man's inhumanity to man makes countless thousands mourn. And by reminding people through my little platform of music, hopefully some listeners will buy this song. But even if they don't, I hope that they will visit the Long Earth website or the website of War Child UK and donate something, anything, to help those who need it most. War Child UK assists children throughout the world affected by war. Children of all races, all colours and varying nationalities. They could just as easily be your children, your grandchildren, your nieces and nephews. And if they were, you'd move heaven and earth to help them, and you'd be asking, more likely begging, others to do likewise. And if you do decide to buy Dust and Stone, War Child will receive every single penny of sales from the single. I'm not interested in taking back a penny of what this has cost me to record or promote. I'm simply using the modest tools I have at my disposal to try and make a difference from my little corner of this planet. I'm fortunate enough to live in a relatively stable country with food on the table and a roof over my family's heads. And yes, I could simply have donated money via the War Child site, but I was moved, compelled enough to write a song. And my friends were moved enough to put their valuable time and their exceptional talents into my project. And hopefully some of you will be moved by the song too. And ultimately, that is the aim. As we've seen from events in Ukraine, a European country, remember, our seemingly safe, stable existence can change in a very short space of time, almost on a whim. So please, if you've listened this far to me wittering on in a podcast, I'm sure you can spend another 6 minutes visiting longearthmusic.com or searching Martin Haggerty, H-A-G-G-A-R-T-Y, on Bandcamp, and listening again to the song. In fact, I urge you to watch the video that Ross has put together. And after listening and or watching, I hope you will then feel like spending £1.50, around half the price of your Starbucks or Costa coffee, on something that will make you and I feel better, and hopefully go toward making a child feel a lot better. It could even change a life. And if you do visit the Long Earth site, you can leave an additional donation of your own choosing. You can also donate on War Child UK's site. If you visit Bandcamp, you can pay as much as you want for the song. So, you can download the song, not stream it, because streaming unfortunately doesn't pay. And it certainly defeats the object of a charity song if no money is donated. You can download the song from Bandcamp, from the Long Earth website, longearthmusic.com, and you can view the video by visiting YouTube, search Long Earth Music Official, and you will find it there. I wish you all peace and happiness, and I hope you like my song. Thank you for listening.